Welcome to episode 163 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live January 31, 2020. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Ben just wrapped up giving a few PL900, the Power Platform Fundamentals exam crams. So, Ben and Scott spend some time talking about the Power Platform, Dynamics 365, Modern Workplace, and just the fundamental level exams in general. Hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get going on this Friday in Florida.
It is Friday. We're in Florida.
We are in Florida, and it is a balmy 58 degrees.
Nailed it. I know. I've had the heat on the last couple of days. It's a rough life we leave here.
Yeah, well, you built a fire in your fireplace the other day too, didn't you?
Yeah, we build fires in the fireplace all the time.
Even in the summer?
Not in the indoor fireplace in the summer, but sure.
Well, the outdoor one, yeah. You can sort of do. You just have to sit 10 feet away from it so you don't get hot.
No. Helps. Hot. You have to sit kind of close to it or else the mosquitoes get you. You don't want the mozzies at you.
Oh, yeah. Good point. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
All right. So should we talk about our topic? Because I have nothing else to talk about because all I've been doing is working and flying and talking about this topic.
Well, I had an interesting little quip come up the other day. I had somebody reach out to me and they said, hey, I was listening to the episode we did on Stream, the 161 there, and he said, you said Stream so many times that if we turned it into a drinking game, you might have killed somebody. So,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
What did we talk? What was 161?
The Stream one. Migrating Stream.
The Stream. Oh, that's right. Migrating. No, it wasn't. That was our Edge one.
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Whichever one the Stream one was then.
Whatever one we talked about, Stream and Office 365 video and migrating.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. Yeah, so don't take a drink every time or take a shot every time we say Stream in there.
I think we should start having a word of the episode if people want to play drinking games to our podcast.
Well, for today's episode, our word of the day is Power Platform.
Yay. Which, there are so many fights you can start with the Power Platform by saying certain things, as I have realized over the last couple of weeks. So the last couple of weeks, I've been doing this whole, the Power Platform Fundamentals, kind of like an exam cram overview of that. And as I talk to different people, there are some tensions between different people about different products and how different products work, especially when it comes to, well, so first of all, because you and I had this discussion a couple weeks ago, is Power Platform Dynamics?
Ooh.
Yes.
From the outside, is Power Platform Dynamics? No, it's not part of Dynamics licensing, but it is built on the Dynamics platform. So yes.
Right.
From a 100% purely technical lens, Power Platform is Dynamics, and Dynamics is Power Platform because it's the same underlying bits and pieces of functionality that drive it. And then there's the whole licensing side of it, like what is Dynamics and what is Power Automate and all those kinds of things.
Right. So that's one interesting part to this, because if you go look at, so looking at Power Platform Fundamentals from a pure, I'm going to go study for this and I want to go look at like the notes that, or the exam, I can't remember what they call it right now.
You want to look at the skills that are measured.
Yes.
The objective domains and the skills.
Yes, the skills measured. And if you go download like the skills outline and look at what's in the skills outline, it talks about like the biz. The only time Dynamics is ever mentioned in studying for the Power Platform is a single bullet under one part that is like 20% to 25%. And it says it may include, but is not limited to, the value of connecting to Dynamics 365.
Well, so I think there's a couple things that happen here, right? We have to frame this conversation out again as technical versus kind of business needs and potentially what happens on the front end. So if we're going to talk about the Power Platform Fundamentals exam, we're really not going to talk about Dynamics a whole lot because it's going to be about the business value of Power Platform. We're not going to get into deep dive how to build a flow that relies on data that's in the common data service, right? You might have to know what CDS is, but the nitty gritty of it's going to kind of stay on the outside. So then you can be a little maybe more holistic about it and say, what is the Power Platform? Well, it's Power BI and Virtual Agents and Power Apps and Power Automate. Boom.
See, so that's the way I would have approached this very much, is a super high level. However, I need to be careful how I phrase this. Due to certain topics that came up when you took the exam, the discussion that came up was the fact that F&O does not use CDS.
F&O isn't F&O anymore, though. Like, it's two different things, right? It's Dynamics Finance and Dynamics Supply Chain Management. Like, they split F&O into two applications within Dynamics.
So that did not come up at all, but there's a Dynamics...
I'll put a link in the show notes for you.
Okay, so put a link in the show notes about that. But there is a connector then to CDS, and there is a connector to F&O, which apparently is no longer F&O, but there's still a Dynamics 365 F&O connector in Flow. Due to phrasing of certain questions on the exam, this led to a massive discussion about F&O, CDS, Dynamics, and the Power Platform, and how it's all tied together. Which to me is way more beyond, it's beyond what you should need to know for fundamentals.
I think it is. It's beyond the scope, because then you're back to a technical conversation. Like, who cares how it's all tied together on the back end? From the front end, yeah, here's this thing called Dynamics, and it can use components of the Power Platform to talk to other things. That's the fundamental piece.
That's the way I would have taken this. And after listening to people talk about the exam, everybody felt like this went to a deeper technical level than a fundamentals exam would have.
So that's an interesting one. I felt the same way about the fundamentals exam for Azure. There were certainly components of that test where, from somebody who purely sells Azure, like, how would you know what resources are allowed to move around and how, like, deep dive subscription management works unless you're an operator or you're somebody who's had to do that? Like, you would never know that.
Right.
You wouldn't have to. But that question was totally something that could pop up in context based on skills on the exam.
Yeah. And that was a lot of this, is like, it asked things about, like, specific connectors. What specific connector would you use? And it's like, there's 350 connectors in Flow. At a fundamental level, do you really need to know exactly what connector you would use to connect various services across the Microsoft ecosystem?
Or do you just need to know that connectors are there? Connectors,
right, exactly,
are a thing. Or maybe high-level categories of connectors.
Right. So that was one thing about this, but that... And that's where it's like, as I was talking to people, when you go into the Power Platform exam, I feel like this one, it led to some interesting discussions. This one's a little odd in my opinion, because Power Platform, kind of like you said, fundamentally it was built for Dynamics with the CDS, with Power Automate, with Power Apps, and the fourth one. So there's four, and Power Virtual Agent is technically now the fourth pillar of the Power Platform. That in itself is just kind of, it's interesting. But going across all four of those, they are definitely geared towards Dynamics in terms of things like Power Virtual Agent only uses CDS to connect to and to develop that chatbot functionality. But all the other ones have also, I guess, more or less been hijacked by modern workplace. So in terms of working with SharePoint and Teams and all of those, it like sits in this weird middle where I feel like a lot of people don't have A lot of people don't have modern workplace and Dynamics, is what I feel like. So to get something that sits in the middle and have to know a lot more details about both modern workplace and Dynamics than I feel like you should at a fundamentals exam seemed to make this particular exam a little bit trickier for people, is the general sense that I've gotten.
Yeah, well, some of that comes from modern workplace components, I think, like SharePoint or Office 365, potentially absconding away with functionality and not being very clear about where that came from, right? Like, nobody was ever very clear when Flow licensing first came into Office 365 entitlements, that really it came from Dynamics or Power Platform, whatever we want to call it, right? But it was built on that engine. So at some point, that licensing was going to have to impact it. Like, I don't know if that was like a marketing thing or a product management thing, but somebody didn't look far enough ahead into the future to say like, oops, this is going to be a problem. It was a way to kind of get out of a jam with workflow and some other things along the way. And now a lot of that platform, like you said, it's jammed over to the other side. I don't know. I tend to be like, I try and approach the way maybe Worldwide Learning is coming out with some of the exams and things like that. They're trying to figure out how do we do those job task analysis, those JTAs, and figure out what people should actually know about these things. Yep. Like, I think when you're coming at it, you're potentially coming from a modern workplace world over to Power Platform, but come from the other side, what if you pretended modern workplace never existed? Right?
Right. 'Cause
theoretically, I shouldn't have to know anything about modern workplace to onboard into part of Power Platform, right? Like, Power Apps is a standalone tool. Power BI is a standalone tool. Power Automate or Flow, standalone tool. I don't need to integrate it with SharePoint and all those other things.
Right. When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit.
That's where this exam gets tricky, because this exam is written in a way that you have to know both of those. You can't just come from Power Platform, or you just can't just come from Modern Workplace and do well on this exam, and you can't come just from Dynamics and do well on this exam, because you need to know all of how Power Platform hooks into Modern Workplace, as well as how all of it hooks into Dynamics. So if you go look at the material for studying this and how it works, it gets into, I learned a lot about Dynamics and CDS through it, because
turns out the
study materials, and as you drill down through all of that, what you need to understand goes into like all the security roles and how security is structured when you start talking about CDS. For instance, did you know, quiz time, because someone from Dynamics just naturally knows this, that when you set up CDS with security, you have business units, and then within business units, you have teams, not to be confused with Microsoft Teams. So when you're talking about this and you start talking about Modern Workplace and Dynamics and security and how all of this fits together, you have two different types of teams. You have your team used to set security in CDS in Dynamics 365, and you have your Microsoft teams.
Well, yeah, understanding where one's, yeah, a team in Office 365, which is really an Office 365 group, which is really a type of group in Azure AD, which can potentially be used to secure resources in that platform, versus CDS, which is over in this whole other world.
Right, which has business units and teams, and then a whole slew of security role level access and hierarchy. Two different types of hierarchy security, like manager hierarchy and position hierarchy. And understanding how all of that fits together in Dynamics 365 and what permission levels you have to grant people to do certain things in CDS and D365, as well as how you would do all of this other stuff around like embedding flows and power apps and all of that
within a Teams tab, or how you can use Power Apps with a Canvas app to share or for external user access into your environment, because you can use Canvas apps you can have guest access for now. So how all of that works with SharePoint. And then, yeah, it's just like there's two different sides to this exam. And depending on which side you come from, you really do have to understand the other side as well.
It's a tough one because I keep hearing you talk about it, but it keeps coming back to like a very technical conversation, and it's not a business value conversation, which is what those fundamental exams are supposed to be about. So maybe being that this exam happens to be in beta, this might be one of those things that changes over time with it too, right? Especially if you're sitting in a room with a bunch of people who are potentially exposed to these technologies. Like when I think about the fundamentals exams across everything that exists in the new ones today. So you've got what? The MS-900, the AZ-900, you've got the PL-900.
There's MB-901 as dynamics fundamentals.
There's a bunch of them out there. They're supposed to be business value exams. So like when I think about that as a admittedly technical person, I flip that back to, well, this should be my salespeople who should be able to pass this exam, right? They should understand the business value of the platform so they can go articulate to that to their customers. So then customers come to someone like you or I and we say, okay, great, the salesperson sold it to you. Now let's figure out what we can actually do with it. Like, how can we solve that problem that you've identified? Okay, well, that one's going to take a little bit of Dynamics plus Common Data Service plus a little bit of SharePoint licensing over here. Ooh, good. I see you already have Office 365. Let's figure all that out.
And I think so is part of the problem. One, I'm guessing they have technical people writing these exams.
To a certain degree.
Yes.
That can certainly be part of it.
Which is probably part of it. But I feel like too, so everything you just said, doesn't that still require some sort of a technical depth? Because if you know to pull in a little bit of CDS here and a little bit of Dynamics here and a little bit of Teams here, fundamentally, you need to know what's possible.
So what's possible does not imply technical depth. You don't need to teach somebody how to implement it on the whole back end. Like there used to be this term that I would hear a lot when I would work with Microsoft services on projects. And yep, a lot of the time within MCS, like we would work with them as a partner and we would kind of walk into a project and we'd go like, whoa, this whole thing is just way overblown. And being a technical person, I would immediately jump down to that very low level. And did you think about this? Did you think about this? Did you think about this? Like, because they've mentioned this one big bullet point at the top. And they would always come back and they'd say, like, no, that's not what we meant. What we need to do is manage depth. So even though you've got this big high level bullet, how do you figure out the level that you stop to? Like, what's the depth that you go to? So like when it comes to things like security and roles, like you said, there's all these different security and roles. I would want to understand maybe that a team in Dynamics is a security construct versus a team over in Office 365 or M365 is a business value thing for me, right? To deploy chats and files. And then yep, they each have different security constructs. And then because this is the Power Platform exam, I would think the focus would be more on those CDS security constructs. So, okay, cool. What do we need to know about CDS? Well, CDS supports role-based security, and that has business units, which have entity or record ownership and record sharing, right? And then maybe you get into like record level security and you kind of stop there. You don't talk about how to implement record level security or anything like that. You just say like, okay, here's the thing. And you understand at a high enough level that it's there and how it ties together and that one is kind of almost sort of not tangentially related to the other. And then you move on to the next bit. But that's like my approach from the outside. Like, I think I would take a very different tack with some of the exams these days. Like some of them are pretty rough.
See, and I think I would too, because what you just said, I feel like a lot of these exams take it one more step. So you can see where they're coming at from business value. So it would, like it's something, let's just stick in this CDS security thing because this one was just kind of interesting to me, is it would get into like your, let's say you had a scenario where you had two different sales organizations and they both reported to the same sales manager and you needed the two different sales departments to be able to not see each other's client list, client data in CDS, but your sales manager had to be able to see both of the sales departments that he reported to. What security level in CDS would you give to that sales manager in order to see all of his sales department's data? I mean, technically right there, that is it's a business value driven. Can you secure it in a way so that a manager can see all of his sales departments?
But the way you framed it, that wasn't the way you framed it. The way you framed it was, how does that security actually get configured?
Yes. And
that's a very different conversation. And a lot of that comes back to potentially how those questions are structured and what the answers they give you to choose from are and how they've actually phrased that out. Because I could see, staying at a high level, if somebody came to you and said, like, okay, so I've taught you about CDS, I've taught you about teams and some of the roles and business units that go into it, and we've kind of stopped at whatever level we've stopped at. Can you do this? Like, yes or no, true or false? You know, that should be a question that should be able to be framed up.
Right. And I think that kind of makes sense. And I would agree with that. But I don't think this particular exam, at least, the Power Platform fundamentals, I don't feel like it stayed at that level. There were definitely questions at that level, but there were other questions that would take you down a more technical depth, even to the point of like knowing which controls were available in the different products. In terms of which controls do you have that you can use on a Power Apps Canvas versus which controls do you have available in Power BI?
That's so rough.
Right. Well, and where you can embed stuff, like, can you embed Power Apps in Dynamics, or can you embed Power BI in Power Apps, or where can you pin Power BI dashboard tiles within the platform if you want to surface reports to people? And they're framed in a way of, I want to surface a report to so-and-so in such-and-such an application. What should I do? Or what should I use? Yeah, exactly. And it seems high level, but it's kind of like, well, should I use, and I don't know what questions they gave me. Maybe they give you like Power Apps or Power BI. Yeah,
don't talk about questions they gave you, because then you break your NDA for exams and blah, blah, blah. None of that.
Well, so I don't even remember if that was a question or what the answers were. But it's stuff like that, where I felt like it went down to a little bit more technical level about knowing what components and what connectors and some of those more technical details, not a business scenario.
So then you get into a little bit of, you feel like you have to be an implementer for some of that, or at least have touched some of it and gotten hands-on with it?
Yes. I think realistically, to pass this fundamentals exam, you'd have to be hands-on with it and actually have done some stuff with it. And again, coming in, if you've been doing Dynamics or you've been doing Office 365, you should study up a little bit on the other half of it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was. It is. And
so I have another question for you. So one of the things that happens when people go to potentially sit an exam like this, like from the exam site, one of the things that's usually linked is a learning path on Microsoft Learn. So did you happen to go through that learning path or anything? Like, did you feel the depth of that prepared people in the right way?
So I briefly went through that learning path. I should go through it again.
I think it might be an interesting thing now that you've had some conversations and, you know, you've had this wider context of things around it, because that'd be a good place to you to say like, okay, this actually doesn't get people far enough. And that's probably feedback that somebody at like the people who own the exam should hear. And that's the other thing. If somebody's going to go take these exams, I don't know if anybody's taken any of the new modern exams, but they have a little survey in the beginning now that you're allowed to take up to half an hour to go through. And they'll ask you about your proficiency level in different areas. And you should be very honest in those assessments, because if you say you're an expert in everything and you come out the other side and you've bombed the fundamentals exam, it's probably not you. It's that the questions, like you said, might be framed up in a bad way right now.
Okay, so I'm going to say yes, this does, just based on one of the questions in here. And to me, this does not belong on a fundamentals exam. Which means this probably goes to the technical depth. So this is in, this is straight off of that learning platform site under the Power Platform Fundamentals.
Yep.
It's an introduction to Power Platform. So it's under Introduction to Power Platform and it's under Data Connectors. In one of the sample scenarios they give, or one of the sample things that they talk about, which essentially means this could turn into a question, is when you want to go create custom connectors, you have three different approaches to creating custom connectors. You can use a blank custom connectors. You can use it from an open API definition or from a Postman collection. Should you have to know that those are three options for creating custom connectors on a fundamental exam, or should you know that you can create custom connectors?
I would argue it should be the latter, but some of these, like I think with positioning, like with some of these, they expect you to move on and potentially be an implementer. So with like the Azure fundamentals, like I said, I think it's a lot, like I should be able to give that to non-technical folks, my sales org, my marketing org, heck, I should be able to give it to people in HR and they should understand like what we do as a business, if that's something we deploy. It sounded like from this one, like when I read the description, when you told me about it and I went out and looked, it looks like they want you to move on a little bit to potentially being an implementer along the way, because they talk about that value of low code apps. Like, who is this exam for? So candidates for this exam want to act more effectively by creating simple app experiences. Even just by that phrasing, it's like, well, you probably expect people who are already potentially building app experiences to come and sit this exam. So yeah, in that case, they should know about the three ways that you can interact with connectors.
Yeah, and maybe that's the problem with it. It's kind of a misunderstanding or a miscategorization of who fundamentals are for. Are they for salespeople trying to sell the product, or are they for people like you said that are trying to move into implementation and actually want to be able to build some of this stuff and start diving into how would I actually go through and understand how to build all of this?
Yeah. Well, technically, fundamentals are supposed to validate foundational understanding of Microsoft technologies and are optional for getting started. That's officially where they fall out in the current structure today. Awesome, right?
Either way, yeah. It's been interesting going through this with people and trying to figure out, again, what technical depth do you have to go to? And part of this, I feel like too, there's a certain technical depth to understand how they fit together. Does that make sense? And maybe part of the problem is that I come at it from a technical background is...
Like I said, I struggle working for a learning company who has to develop material and deliver material for these, right?
Yes.
You know, going out and being a Microsoft certified trainer and having to stand in front of somebody and tell them, here's the messaging that you need to hear to be able to get through this exam experience. Sometimes it's a harrowing thing because you don't know.
Right. And I think that's the struggle in... is how and what approach do you take and how do you frame all that up? Because it is, you and I are both technical, so I want to understand if I'm going to know how Dynamics or know that Dynamics and Power Automate and SharePoint can all work together. Fundamentally, I want to know what that looks like, because once I know what that looks like, I know what is possible from that business scenario. Because I come from a technical background, I may take a little different approach of, once I understand the technical, I understand what's possible. Where other people may just want to know what's possible and they just memorize what's possible. They don't care about the technical side of it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And yeah, I don't know. Sometimes that's like a personal question that people want to fall out with, right? Do you want to do like, can you memorize it and get through a test? Like, do you want the test to move on to something else? Are you truly using it to build foundational knowledge to go to the next step?
Right.
And because that's a little personal sometimes.
If you can understand the technical, you can fit it into any business scenario. You can go into a business scenario and see, okay, I know because this connects to this way and this connects to this way, this is how you could solve this business scenario. But that's a very technical approach to it versus kind of like you said with the fundamentals, knowing that you can use Power Automate to take data out of Twitter and put it into CDS or something like that.
If you can ever answer that question, like, well, you'd be well positioned to do some other things.
Yeah.
Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and five ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below.
End of the day, it was interesting just sitting down and talking to this, and I actually ended up learning a fair amount about Dynamics through all of it.
Turns out, at the end of the day, we wrapped around to, is Power Platform Dynamics? Yes.
Oh, but that still begs the question of, should I need to know this much Dynamics to pass a Power Platform Fundamentals exam? Although, it's...
Probably not. I don't think anybody should have to know what Dynamics is.
Yeah.
Again, personal opinion.
Don't tell the Dynamics people in my classes that. I almost started a fight between people wanting to know, people that came from a Dynamics F&O background and people that came from a Dynamics CE background. There's a little bit of tension there. But yeah, it was. And also, end of the day, what I realized is people, you try to figure out, like, does the balance of questions that they say actually matter? And I've decided it's so hard to figure it out because everybody always feels like there's the most questions about the technology they don't understand.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, it's a totally randomized sample set, but you're going to see the ones that you've never seen before. It's kind of like going to the airport and you go in and I know I'm flagged for special security. Like, I must look special. I end up going through that nice body scanner while I'm watching everybody else just walk through, you know, the metal detector.
Yep.
Every single time. I'm like, oh, come on. Again?
Yeah.
I'm probably on a list somewhere, but.
And it is. Like, people come out of it and it's like, I felt like there was way more Power Apps on there than anything else. The next person is, I felt there was way more Power BI on there than anything else. The next person was like, oh, the Power Automate section was brutal on that. And it's like, okay, so I know what you understand the least out of all of the components because it's whatever you felt like was the most or was the hardest part of that. So I guess that probably means the balance is pretty good if everybody thinks something else was on there the most.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it was a little bit lower level than a fundamentals when it came down to how this one was created and positioned.
I think that's fair. Like I said, I felt the same way with the Azure one. I haven't done the Microsoft 365 one yet. Maybe I should go take that one because just with a background and even not having touched it for a while, I should totally understand the business value of Microsoft 365 and be able to fake my way through it. But I bet I could fail that one spectacularly.
So I'm going to guess you would pass that one. Feedback I tended to get, because a lot of these people I was working with the last couple of weeks were like technical sales, more sales people. And a lot of them said Dynamics and Power Platform were difficult. They didn't think Azure was bad, and they thought M365 was easy.
Well, that's good. So you're saying there's a chance for me.
I'm saying there's a chance. That is how I have heard these exams weighted by people, as M365 and Azure were the easiest two, Power Platform and Dynamics were the hardest. And I think it's because Power Platform, my guess is because Power Platform and Dynamics tend to cross more technical.
I think it's just so broad, right? You're talking about four products that integrate and don't integrate and are just really weird in their own way.
Right. So I don't know, but we have gone way over. Well, yeah, we're probably over our time now.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can cut it there. Easy enough.
I had a brief interruption.
Gotta love kids.
Yes. Unless there's anything else we need to talk about?
No.
All right. Sounds good. Well, with that, I'll let you go enjoy your day. Cool. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Thanks, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.